Hi, hello everybody. Welcome into another edition of Speed Syndicate, episode 69, titled Wood Brothers 101. And so I'm Logan Loganity Morris, and thank goodness I don't do it alone. Freddie, good to see you chiming in already. It is time to rumble. It is indeed time to rumble. Yes, it is. Good to see you. Hope you're doing well. But I don't do it alone. Thank goodness. Let's bring in the cast of characters that help me break down the week-to-week action in motorsports. First, he is the syrup-sipping, John Mayer-listening, trackhouse hat-wearing show creator, Adam Carbine. Come on in here.
Hello. Yes, wearing my trackhouse hat in honor of our good friend Dan Foster, big trackhouse fan. And when I was down in Daytona, there was this really cool SVG shirt that I liked. And so I went to go get it, and they had this deal going on where they threw in a hat for like $5 more or something. And so I got it. And yeah, I think it's a cool looking little logo, even though it's, I think, backwards for everyone right now. Oh, no.
That looks good.
Oh, it's right. Good. There we go. Yeah. Okay. Anyways.
Good little deal. You're good.
Anywho.
Not great. Look, we'll have to send that to our buddy Dan Foster so he knows that you were doing that.
They were talking about you today. I don't know if you caught that. We'll get into that later.
Well, we'll chat about it. Everybody talks about me. It's nice to know. anywho, let's bring in lady that keeps us on point. She's a little disappointed because Ryan Blaney had one. No good, very bad, terrible all-around weekend. But let's bring her in. She's the most beautiful woman on the day. Let's bring it in. Let's talk to her. Producer Peyton Moore.
There she is.
Hi there, Peter. How are you?
I'm frazzled, but what else is new?
Yeah. Show the world your nails real quick. That's some big league nailage. Yeah, look at there. Wow. For audio listeners, those are some unique nails.
Did you do those yourself, Peyton? Or
no.
Okay. Well, they look great.
They do look great. Producer Peyton, I have a question for you live here on the air, if you do me a great favor.
Yeah.
Live here on the air. Now you're nervous, aren't you?
Yeah.
Can you clip that Adam portion there at the start for our buddy Dan Foster so we can send it to him?
Sure. Yes.
Please and thank you. Uh-huh. Thanks. Thanks so much. All right. So before we let you go, I gotta ask you. Ryan Blaney, tough weekend for your boy. Didn't even get to qualify. He started dead last. Now, to his credit, he did go zooming through the field before he had a kerfluffle that involved my blood 43 with Eric Jones. And
they hit each other.
Yeah. It was flying around like lotto balls. I mean, what was your take? Were you disappointed? Did you think you would have a better weekend at Vegas?
I thought it would be better. I picked him in the multiple fantasy leagues I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
I finished dead last in the fantasy league for the second week in a row. I'm very good at the game. But yeah, I was disappointed. And then I fell asleep during the last couple of laps and I woke up to Josh Berry winning. And I was like, how did that happen? What did I miss? And yeah.
All right. Well, with that, producer Peyton, we will see you a little bit later on. It's time for our weekend review.
Only if I can find the button.
She found it, boys and girls. It's time for our weekend review. Adam Carbine, just good to be back with you as always.
You as well, yeah.
The reason this episode is titled Wood Brothers 101 is because Josh Berry has taken the Wood Brothers back to victory lane for their 101st victory as a team. You know, if you would have told me, Mr. Carbine, that Josh Berry was going to be the first Ford to find victory lane this year, as much as I like the Wood Brothers, and it's easy to root for Josh Berry, I'd have called you a big fibber. I would have called you a big fibber on that front, especially at Vegas, because that's where Joey Logano reigns supreme. Brad Kay has good runs there. Ryan Blaney is yet to win, but he's almost always very good. And so I would have called you a liar. So give me your overarching thoughts before we really break it down. Josh Berry, a brand new cup win. Wood Brothers 101. Talk to me. What are you thinking?
Yeah, or even just anyone to break the streak of Christopher Bell, really. Like, Josh Berry, first Ford in victory lane. I wouldn't have believed it either. That's I'm happy for him. I think he's a great dude. I think he's a talented driver. Dale Jr. certainly thinks so, and I tend to trust what Dale Jr. thinks about talented drivers. So seeing as how he's been pretty good at finding them throughout his career. So yeah, I'm surprised, but less so in Josh Berry himself, and maybe more so surprised by the Wood Brothers, if that makes sense. I think if SHR had stuck around and Josh Berry was in his second year in the four car, I don't know if we'd be as surprised with him getting his first win at Vegas here, but the Wood Brothers adds an extra layer of surprise to it. And that's, again, that's not to talk poorly of the Wood Brothers, but they haven't been perennial front runners for a long time. And so it's good to see. I think it's good for the sport when the winners are spread out. It's fun to root for someone that can win, right? And if you're a Josh Berry fan, you might not have felt that way until yesterday. So that was pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Absolutely, it was. Freddie says, it's good to see the Wood Brothers back in victory lane. It's nice to see Josh win the race on Sunday. Look, he agrees. He didn't think they'd be the first Ford. Freddie, completely agree. That's not a nod to the Wood Brothers or Josh Berry at all. It's just you wouldn't think so. This is the first time I think they've won in back-to-back seasons since Kyle Petty in the mid-'80s. It's been a long time since they've won in back-to-back seasons. Harrison Burton won last year at Daytona. In the summer Daytona race, and so good for them. It is surprising because usually when we think about the Wood Brothers winning, we think about Daytona, Talladega, maybe Atlanta. Now, not so much because this is our first. Phoenix, you can make an argument is, but Las Vegas is our first traditional mile and a half regular quote unquote cookie cutter track, and you would not think that the Wood Brothers wouldn't be the top contender. It would take some shenanigans, some weather, something funny to put them up front. And that just wasn't the case. I remember, Berry, I think, qualified eighth. He was solid all day long. And then I thought he put on a clinic at the end of the race. Adam, you and I talked about it during our post-race inspection article. I thought he put on an absolute clinic. Passing Daniel Suarez late in the race for the win. And, I want to ask you, let's talk here. You don't want to make too much of one race, even when it is a win. But I got to ask you, and I asked you during our post-race inspection, but this podcast allows us to elaborate a little bit more. Do you think this is a sign of things to come for the Wood Brothers and Josh Berry, or did they just have a good week? Do you expect them to be, I don't want to say championship contenders, but more content in contention more than they have been in recent seasons? What's your take on where the Wood Brothers and Josh Berry stand going forward?
Clearly something good is going on there. You know, whether that's Josh Berry is maybe a more seasoned driver. I mean, if you can even say that, he doesn't have a ton of starts in the Cup Series, but he's a little older, maybe more mature. I don't know what you chalk it up to other than they hit it right yesterday. You said he qualified seventh actually, but yeah, very similar. Like that's a good strong starting point. And this was not the type of race. This is going to sound like I'm insulting someone like a Harrison Burton, but yeah, to win at a super speedway, yes, you need to be good, but there's also a lot of luck that comes into play. Josh Berry, there wasn't luck in this win. Like he had the better car than Daniel Suarez, but even making that pass for the lead is not a given in this car. Like it's hard to get around people, even when you have the better car. So that on top of the fact that he's not known as a mile and a half guy, he's a short track guy. And then Yeah, I don't know. It's his first win. So yeah, I don't know. I don't think that this is like, oh, the Wood Brothers are here to stay and everything's, you know, going to be, they're going to be contenders week in and week out. But would I be shocked to see Josh Berry have another win this year? Maybe not.
And you mentioned, and for once I'm going to cut you off, you mentioned that he's kind of a short track runner in a lot of ways. Martinsville coming up, Bristol a little bit after that. You know, there's some possibilities here that if their short track program is on point, that, you know, I don't know if they'll ever be the quote-unquote favorite, but it wouldn't stun you by any stretch.
Yeah, the second win will be less stunning than the first, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm, and I don't know if partially that's like the partnership with Penske and whether that's just like going better now. I imagine it was always going pretty well, but I don't know. Maybe the Wood Brothers found something. Maybe, I don't know. There's no way to know for sure, but he'll take the win, you know, as anyone would, right?
Yeah, certainly. Freddie says Martinsville, he thinks is going to be the next win. So let me ask you, Freddie, are you talking, let's talk about this. Are you talking here in a couple of weeks when we're all going to have hot dogs and watch the paperclip? Or are you talking maybe in the penultimate finale of the season, I believe it's either the first weekend of November or the last weekend of October at Martinsville in the fall. So let me know.
Last weekend of October, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. He's already in the playoffs, right?
Yeah,
so
I mean, unless we finally have more than 16 winners, which Christopher Bell is certainly doing his part to not have that happen. Either this year or next year, it's going to happen. It wouldn't stun me. It wouldn't stun me.
Let's take a minute here. Sorry. I'm going to pause for a sec. I'm looking at these playoff tracks this year, right? We've got Darlington as the opener, but then you've got Worldwide Technology Gateway. That's kind of a shorter track. And then Bristol, that's your first round. Like, that is a pretty decent first round for a Josh Berry.
Mm-hmm, certainly.
Then you've got New Hampshire in the second round. Like, that's a shorter track. Isn't that a 1 mile, right? Mm-hmm. So you could see that. And then Martinsville's in the last round. Like, there's a, I don't know, this is too early to say, but there's a pathway for Josh Berry to make it to Phoenix with a chance.
I like it. Peter, hit the hot button. Hit the hot button, please. And then, by the way, Freddie, we have something just for you. We have something just for you that was made just for you, Freddie. I hope you're listening. Hope you're watching. Peter, would you go ahead and debut our yeet butt? There you go.
Good. I like that. Wow, look at that.
Freddie, just for that's you nice. Right there, brother. Right there. There's the yeet butt.
That's good.
And so, look, I think there is a pathway. Do I think it will happen at this point? I got to say no.
At this point,
I have to say no. But again, we'll see. You know, because it's way too early. I hope you're happy with that button, Freddie. Hope you're thrilled, brother. But at this point, it's way too early to say for sure. But my inclination is no. But if this is a sign of things to come, because again, there's a mile and a half, and we go back to Vegas even in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, we and so. Yeah, second verse, same as the first, I would assume.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Obviously, you certainly got a shot.
We go to a mile and a half this week, and we'll talk more about it. But it's a very diametrically opposed mile and a half from Las Vegas. Adam, it's kind of like you and I in a couple of different ways. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, Josh Berry, and I don't want to overlook this, and I don't think Fox did a good enough job pointing this out yesterday. The Wood Brothers have now won in their 75th year. I mean, that's a historic thing. And frankly, I don't even think it was mentioned, and that was disappointing. You know, the Petty family celebrated their 75th year last year, and God knows I love them, but let's not kid ourselves. That's been a lot of the different incarnations, a lot of different teams. The Wood Brothers are still the Wood Brothers.
Right.
And so now, granted, they have a lot of help from Penske, but it's still Wood Brothers Racing. And so to win during their 75th year, I don't think you can overstate how historic that is, how cool that is, and just how unique that is. It would be great if this is the sign that they're kind of back in the saddle. too soon to say. You know, you don't want to be Bill Shakespeare and go much ado about nothing. But you know, it's too soon to say. Freddie wants to know: is Josh Berry the Wood Brothers' best chance to win one more Cup championship? Who's their best chance?
I'm trying to think who's in the Ford pipeline. You know, that could maybe. It's possible, honestly.
That's a great question.
That's really good.
It's a great question, Freddie.
You got to think that any like real top tier premier talent is going to just go to Penske, right? Like if they're in the Ford camp and they're in talks with Wood Brothers, often I feel like Wood Brothers gets the driver acclimated to the Cup Series and then they move to Penske to
Ryan Blaney is the most recent example.
Is Josh Berry just not good enough that he doesn't get moved up to Penske, but just good enough that he could sneak in and get a Cup champion? Sure.
Well, Penske is sort of like Hendrick right now, in the sense of there's a bit of a logjam in my estimation. Whether that's Joey Logano is going to be at Penske for unless sponsorship woes hit, and you never say never because they hit Jimmy Johnson, they hit Kyle Busch, they're hitting Denny Hamlin, but unless sponsorship woes hit, Joey Logano is going to be at Penske until he calls it a day. Now again, never say never, but I'd be shocked to see him outside of the Penske stable. Ryan Blaney, I'm inclined to think the same thing. He feels set there for the long term. Austin Cindric, we know that Tim Cindric, while has taken a step back on the NASCAR side, still a very powerful name inside the Penske organization, which is Austin's father. I don't know where there's – my point to this ramble is that I don't know where there's room for another Ford prospect at Penske. And so here's the great question, and it happens – we see it often. We've seen it over the years with Toyota and the various Gibbs satellite teams. Could Josh Berry, unless he, you know, and one win is a lot more than the Wood Brothers are used to on a consistent basis. But unless he proves himself to be a perennial contender, could Josh Berry get bumped for that next great Ford prospect? Because we see it in Toyota. We've seen it over the years, like I said, with the various satellite teams with Gibbs. Now it's not so much happening right now in 2311, but back in the day, Christopher Bell was pushed to the Vine Family Racing because he was the next guy. He was going to, you know, you could very well see that happen to Legacy Motor Club when Toyota goes, we want this guy, find a spot so we can prep him for the quote unquote big teams.
You
know, could Josh Berry go to Penske? I think that it would depend on if he proves himself to be a perennial contender. Yeah, I think the captain goes, I want him in my stable somehow, some way.
But even I was going to say too, Austin Cindric is maybe your weak link at Penske, but he's having a pretty solid start to the year. You know,
Had an up and down day yesterday, P6 yesterday.
P6, he's been leading laps. He's won a stage. Like, you know, this is more than we have seen out of Austin Cindric since his Daytona 500 win, really. Like, more consistency than we've seen from him, maybe his entire Cup career.
Let's see if our producer has any reaction to this. Ryan Blaney gets the boot at Penske. Oh, what a thought.
Peyton offstage is not enjoying that.
I'm just pointing things out. Just saying what could happen. I don't know. He said Austin has to win at least one race this year to keep. I agree, and I got to tell you, hot take right here: Austin Cindric does not win a race in 2025.
Oh.
Does not. Mark it down. No. Nope. Not happening. I'm not a believer in Austin Cindric. I'm not a believer at all.
That is lukewarm at best.
All right. Well. Guess my water heater's going out. Kevin Nash, big boost out of Blaney. Yeah, that's right, brother. And then we're going to hit him with the jackknife power bomb. No, I don't think Blaney's going anywhere. He sells. He's a champion. Again, I think Cindric would be the odd man out, but Cindric's got an ace in the hole in Tim Cindric. And so that's, you know, it's an interesting thought to think about. I don't know. What else stuck out to you before moving along? Let's talk with all, what was with all the loose wheels? As DW would say, you picked a fine time to leave me loose wheel.
It was wild. Yeah.
So what do you make of all the pit road penalties?
There was a little segment on the Fox broadcast yesterday where the drivers were talking about how difficult the pit road at Las Vegas is. That might be part of it. We saw a few extra speeding penalties than maybe we normally do too, but I don't know. Yeah. The difficulty of getting on and off pit road shouldn't play any factor in whether the teams are getting the wheels on tight or not. Like, I don't know. Yeah. It was so weird. We haven't seen that since like the debut of this car, where the single lug nut was suddenly this brand new thing. And obviously people were getting used to it. And yeah, I mean, I don't like to see it. First of all, I feel like it, all those cautions break up the race and it kind of gets, it felt like stage one almost had more laps under caution than it did under green. And that's probably an exaggeration, but it just felt that way sometimes. And I don't know. Yeah. One loose wheel here and there is like, oh, that's kind of, a big story. That's exciting. Someone's going to get suspended and blah, blah, blah. But like when it happens that many times, it's like, okay, like just take the extra 0.2 seconds to make sure it's on there. You know, is it worth losing, two members of your crew for the next 2 weeks, losing two laps because they're going to hold you two laps? Like, yeah. Speaking of loose wheels, though, we do need to talk that Christopher Bell move where he just pulls into Chase Briscoe's pit stall and says, hey, can you fix this for me? This could come off later. Like that, I have never seen anything like that.
I haven't either. And no disrespect, but I've been watching NASCAR a little longer.
Yeah,
and I've never, ever seen that. I appreciate the craftiness of it. I really do. At the same time, I kind of go, what the hell? You can't just, well, I guess you can, but obviously he got the pit knots out of his box penalty. But no, well,
going to the rear is much better than
losing the two laps.
Losing two laps.
And no, we'll have some serious, I would assume, some serious penalty news later on this week because Kyle Busch, of course, lost, everything, and then Chase Briscoe as well. Ian wants to know, would NASCAR have an issue with tires coming loose? Do you think that it's an issue only at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, or will it continue the rest of the mile and a half this season? First of all, Ian, thank you for tuning in. Greatly appreciated, brother. Hope you're well. I believe you were at Las Vegas. Hope you had a good time. And so I don't think it's going to be a major issue going forward. I think you might see it later on going as we get later in the season. I think everybody's going to take a deep breath at Homestead and go, hey, that was a bit of a cluster muck, boys. And so I think you might see people take that 0.2 seconds that Adam was talking about. Do I think it's possible that we see those issues? Yeah, because I think it's about these teams are feeling the pressure of a field that is more packed together than ever. No disrespect to the Wood brothers, right? But they're living proof that anybody can win any given week, really. And so I think that's why you see these things where that half a second might make a difference. I especially believe that with a guy like Kyle Busch and his crew. You don't think their crew's not feeling the pressure of the fact that Kyle Busch is on a long winless streak? I think they are, Ian. Again, I don't necessarily think we see it happen at Homestead. I do think guys kind of maybe take a breather. But as the season ramps up and then your opportunities get a little shorter and shorter, yeah, I think you could see it because, again, as that classic song says, under pressure, right?
So here's an alternative theory for you that I'm just kind of cooking up right now. These tracks that resurface again later, like Vegas, we visit Atlanta later, Vegas particularly because it's in the playoffs again, like our teams maybe taking extra risks on the first time around, knowing full well, hey, if you crash and burn in Vegas yesterday, you've got 21 other regular season races to kind of make it up, right? And if something like if you take that big risk and it pays off, and then you can do that in the playoffs in Vegas, that's something you can add to your notebook. Whereas in the playoffs, it's not worth the risk because you're playing with your whole season there, and there's only three races each round. So I don't know. I just thought
I think that's a really good point. Yeah, I do think you might see – I hadn't thought about that, but I do think you might see teams, you know, go forward a little bit more during the – because, I mean, all kidding aside, no matter what your season is, your expectations, what you're doing is building a notebook on these tracks you see for the first time in the season. And then you go – and I don't care if you're Cody Ware. I don't care if you're Ryan Blaney or Josh Berry. You're going, all right, here's how we can improve to such and such in Vegas in October. It doesn't, you know, that's what everyone's doing these, in my opinion, these first go around, these spring or winter weekends, is they're building that notebook for how do we get better at the mile and a half, and then how do we get better at this particular track when we come back to it. So yeah, I think you might make a really good point there.
I think, well, and maybe the pit crew's like, hey, we're going to try this slightly different choreography, or we're going to do something a little different just to see if we can gain a little extra second here. And then it crashes and burns. You see a Kyle Busch where this entire thing comes off, and they go, okay, yeah, lesson learned. We can't get away with that, and we'll go back to the way we were doing it, and yeah, we will not search for that extra 0.2 or 0.3 sec or whatever it is, right? So, but it, you don't know until you try.
Right. Randall Burnett, enjoy your vacation, my friend.
Yeah.
Or at least you're calling the races from the war room. So yeah, it just, I do. I think there's a great chance of that. We'll see what happens. We got to keep moving along. Allgaier won the Xfinity race in Las Vegas. You know, he talked about finally getting one. Not necessarily. So we know how strong it was. A strong weekend for Junior Motorsports as a whole. They qualified great. So I'm not surprised at all on that. You know, is it too soon to call him a favorite for the championship?
I don't think so. To be honest, when I realized that was his first win of the year, I was actually a little surprised. I feel like he's been in the conversation a lot. Mm-hmm. And so good on them. I think they're definitely they're ones to watch for sure. He's got the points lead as well too, which you know, he didn't have a win yet, but now he's basically top of the standings because he's got his win and he's at 200 points, which is the above 19 points above Jesse Love. So,
and that says a lot because Jesse Love's having a strong season. I mean, he's not, Austin Hill and Jesse Love are not having a slouch season by any stretch. Austin Hill had some trouble, and you know, he's looking to get it kind of back on the right path. But I'll tell you what, if you're an RCR fan, future could be bright. And if you're a Junior Motorsports right now is bright. If you're Junior Motorsports and you're a fan of them, and Junior Nation right now is bright. Any other thoughts before we move along the truck race?
No, not really. I don't think so. Yeah. I'm saying no, and then I'm saying yes. I just thought Connor Zilich looked pretty good in the Xfinity race too. And I know he's more of a road course guy, but it's nice to see him up there in the conversation.
Freddie says Justin had a rocket on Saturday. Yes, he did. Freddie. You know, you got a track house hat on, you know, for our buddy Dan Foster. Let me ask you quickly. Do you feel like Connor Zilich is destined for that 99 next season, or is that too soon to say?
It's a good question.
Notwithstanding, if Daniel Suarez has a great season, if he has more runs like he did yesterday, maybe this
he had a good run yesterday.
But as of right now, in your estimation, is Connor Zilich the favorite for that 99 ride next year?
It's hard to argue against it. I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to say this. Get that hot button ready here, Peyton. Connor Zilich will make his he'll be in the Cup Series next year, and he'll be with Junior Motorsports, who will be running full-time in the Cup Series next year.
What? Who's selling the charter?
I don't know. I don't know. We're getting yeets as well. Wow.
Oh my. That is ghost chili pepper hot.
We'll see. Right, we'll see.
Who do you think selling the charter? Talk to me.
I haven't thought it through yet, but I'll find someone. I'll think about it.
Yeah. I want an article on this. Brady says if Connor keeps up, he has a good chance at a full-time ride in the 40 car. Look, I would not buy in to what – look, I think
the Traveler Whiskey number 40?
I believe that Adam's got his tinfoil track house hat on, but that's just my opinion. I'm not saying that the Junior Motorsports never goes cup racing. I feel like it's a little soon to say it's next year unless he's got investors lined up because God love Dale Jr., but he's a frugal mother lover, man.
I don't know, but I think that Daytona, I think that gave him a taste of the big leagues.
All right.
I think he's caught the bug.
Well, I'm not saying he hasn't. I just don't know if, you know, I just don't know if his bank account goes, yeah, you've caught the bug, but that's a lot of cash. Of course, we don't know what the future of the charter system really is. And,
that's true.
And even though I think it will be business as usual for quite some time, because if you're like, why don't you guys cover the lawsuit? It's because they're still arguing if they can have charters or not. We actually haven't gotten to the lawsuit.
I know. There's no story yet, really. Yeah. Can we even decide to tell a story here? That's the first question. So,
yeah. All right. In Vegas, during the charter race, it was Heim time. But as strange as it sounds, there was some rain and some sleet, as Freddie brings up. And you're right, it wasn't normal for Vegas. Although, was it last year in Vegas that you were dealing with a little bit of snow? Or was that the year before?
Wasn't that Auto Club back when Fontana was still going?
Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. I do remember that. That does ring a bell. I could be wrong.
Nonetheless, point being is every now and again the West gets wild weather too.
Have you ever been to, like, I know you've been to Las Vegas a few times. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been when it has rained?
That's a Peter question, but I don't think so. Peter,
she's saying yes.
It hasn't rained? I don't recall.
The wild thing, I mean, for someone like me who lives in the Pacific Northwest, where it basically rains for seasons at a time, mm-hmm. The wild thing about Vegas to me is that when it rains, there's no drainage in any of the streets. And so, like, you get a rainfall for, like, 3 minutes, and the streets are flooded, and you just have to wait for it to, like, evaporate.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
You wait for Mother Nature and God to chime in.
Yeah, this is wild. Anyways, yeah, it was wild to see that. On Friday, just the red flag for rain in Vegas. You've said it here before, but if you need to fix a drought anywhere, bring a NASCAR race there.
Yeah. Bring a NASCAR race, and by God, we will. Those deserts will be frugal. Fruitful, pardon me, not frugal. But those deserts will have all the rain you could possibly handle. If we just build a track out there.
If you build it,
that rain is moving, boys. And we're testing that vortex theory almost every single week. And hey, we'll talk about it a little bit later on. But we're going back to Florida this week, and I don't know if you know, but it rains all the time in Florida. Yeah.
I lived through it when I was at the Daytona 500. Thank you very much.
And so we'll see what happens. All right, Corey Heim won, as we said. So let me just ask you quickly: with every win, does that put more pressure on Toyota to find him a ride next year in the Cup Series, or not?
I would love to see him have a full time season in Xfinity. I know that's maybe unpopular. I know he's like ripping it up in the Truck Series, but I think I don't know. I feel like there's always this rush to like get these prospects up into the Cup Series. And sometimes it, you know, and especially like, I don't know if there is a ride available for him right now. So like put him in a Joe Gibbs car in Xfinity, like a competitive car, and wait a year and put him in like Denny's old ride, you know, like when Denny retires in a couple of years. And then that way he's got, you know, solid backing. He's got a little experience in a car instead of a truck. I don't know. That's my thought, but he's definitely making a case. You know, he's making the argument. So
now, Freddie says if Corey wins at least 5 times this year, plus the championship, he'll have a ride somewhere next year, either in Xfinity or Cup. You know, what's fascinating, and A friend of ours, Zach Bell, pointed this out to me, and I didn't put much thought into it. But isn't it fascinating that Joe Gibbs hasn't put Corey Heim in one of his cars, at least even part-time? Remember, the part-time Xfinity schedule he's running is with Sam Hunt Racing. Very odd. Like I said, our buddy Zach pointed that out to me, and I'm like, I'll be dipped in manure if that's not a little bit strange.
It is. It, I mean,
does Coach not believe in Heim time? Does he go, like, my clock doesn't register that? Or,
I mean, he's going to have to start soon. It's it's Heim time. Seriously. So, Freddie says he doesn't think Ty and Corey got along. Well,
Ty needs to get along the top 10 he's been on a not
he needs to make light, but he needs to get along with his crew chief, it sounds like.
He really has had a rough second half last year, and it's been a rough start to the season this year. He's still my favorite to be the next person to get their first win, given the equipment he's in. But boy, he's off to an atrocious start in 2025.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good. I'm just looking, 34th in the standings. Mm-hmm. He's only above Cole Custer and Cody Ware as far as full-time drivers go. So
I he's still my favorite to be the first one to get their next win. Who's the next new winner? He's still the favorite for me because of the equipment he's in, especially on a road course. I think he could get it done.
You missed Josh Berry.
Certainly. Certainly I did. It's a bad start for Ty Gibbs. All right, and then in F1, Melbourne, Australia, Lando Norris held off Max Verstappen for the win. It is rare to hear anyone hold off Max Verstappen for the win. Usually he's the one doing the holding off, and it's in a big way.
They had some rain down there too.
Check out the article on racingfresh.com by our pal Ryan, recapping the F1 race.
Mr. Ryan Wu bringing the F1 coverage. Yeah, he's going to be on vacation this week, so I think we can look for a quick little write up next week after the. I'll tell you about what's coming up this week in the weekend preview later. But yeah,
all right, we'll be glad to do that. Let's keep moving along. Let's do our Speedway Scoop. All right, let's talk about some news. Speedway Scoop is the segment where we break down kind of the news of the last week or so and give you some quick thoughts. Sometimes they're long thoughts, but we try to keep it quick. First, Carl Edwards is joining Prime Video as an analyst, and Trevor Bain joins as a pit reporter. Remember, NASCAR racist folks are coming to Amazon Prime. I know that is a hot topic among the NASCAR fan base. Cousin Carl, he has really eschewed NASCAR since he abruptly left in 2016. And are you surprised that he's committing to, granted, Prime's not doing a ton of races. I believe it's five. But
yeah, five or six. I can't remember.
Are you surprised that Cousin Carl is signing up for anything that requires a whole lot of time around the garage and a whole lot of effort? Because he just did a brand new episode of the Dale Jr. Download, and one of the reasons that he hasn't really been around is he says that he knows how he'll get and kind of want to come back and give it his all. And so, are you surprised they got Carl Edwards to jump on board?
Maybe. I mean, they had him on last year at some point. I'm not going to remember when, but they had him on one race, and it was just, I think the reception was just so overwhelmingly positive. And maybe that was partly by design that he just like disappeared for so long. And so that when he returned, everyone was just like, he's back. We're so happy he's back. You know, like he hasn't stuck around long enough to become the villain yet in any way. Right. So, I don't know. Yeah, I think that was maybe a toe dip in the water. And because the reception was so good, he thought, well, yeah, five races with Prime. We'll give it a shot. See what happens.
See how it shakes out. Prime, TNT, NBC, a lot of different partners this year. And going forward from NASCAR, we'll keep you up to date as best we can on what races are where. NASCAR tweaks the open exemption provisional. And, NASCAR announced that it's updated the at a provisional rule, which was used to secure a starting spot for Elio Castroneves in the 500. Teams must still request provisional 90 days before the event. That makes a lot of sense. Nope. Now, if there are more than 40 cars, the field will automatically expand to 41 cars, and the team requesting the provisional must use it regardless of where the team qualifies. Very small tweak there. Any thoughts? Do you like it? Do you not like it?
I'm not a huge fan of this rule in general. I know, I think I said at the time that it was good, and I stand by the fact that I think it's good to have new, fun, interesting people joining in, but I don't know. Sure. Who cares?
Who cares?
Just make the field 43 again. Who, you know, like, most weeks we have 36 anyways. It's not like, I don't know. Yeah. Except I got nothing. I got nothing on that. I don't know. What do you think?
Like you, it's kind of like, I feel like that wasn't really, you know, that could have been an email. That's that thought, right? And just, you know, like you, I'm not sold on the rule. I think 90 days before the event is a little too much, too long. I would like it down to about 30. Like, because, yeah. I mean, plans just happen fast in this sport. And so I don't like that it takes 90 days. Again, I don't think it's 90 days between the end of the season and the Daytona 500. Are you kidding me?
Right. Like,
things happen so quickly in this sport. I think that particular window is out of touch with how the sport is moving right now. Just my take. We're going to talk about that, Freddie. Hold on just a second. Casey Mears will drive for Garage 66, formerly known as MBM, at Martinsville. Casey Mears making his return. Folks, he's just 11 Cup starts away from 500 starts. So I don't know if this is his way of kind of getting back in there and seeing what happens. Very surprising. I thought we were kind of done with Casey Mears. But I think it's great to see people like him kind of come back for a one-off. Now, we know it's not the best equipment, of course, but still, anytime there's other entries in NASCAR and people show an interest in either wanting to come back or come try it out for the first time, I'm all for that. And now let's talk about it, Freddie. All right, let's do this. NASCAR is expected to return to Canada in Montreal next year at the F1 course they use, that Vanilla Wave, eh? However you say that sort of deal. I don't know. How you say that? You got any idea?
I like how you did it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gilles Villeneuve is the circuit.
Nah.
Yeah.
Now, if you read that, I don't say Villeneuve.
Villeneuve.
That looks much closer than what it sounds like, doesn't it?
Well, no, but it's a French name. It's not a Spanish name. So.
Well, the only thing I know about French is "on du fromage," and that's cheese omelet. And that's thanks to Dexter's Laboratory, folks. "On du fromage."
There you go.
I could go for a cheese omelet with a ham and that bad boy. Mm.
Yeah, right. we would be very happy to have NASCAR come back to Canada. Speaking as a Canadian myself, Montreal is a cool track. You know, F1's been using it, so
the Villeneuve. Yeah,
yeah. Gilles Villeneuve. Yeah,
you say that like it's so natural.
It is natural. I speak French. What do you want?
You speak French.
I do. Did you not know that?
Give me a whole sentence real quick.
I'm Canadian.
Give me a whole sentence.
Oui, je peux parler en français.
He's riding. Doggone it. That's good stuff, pal.
I find it interesting timing, and I don't think we should get super political here, but I'm surprised at the timing that they're announcing that NASCAR could return to Canada next year. I mean, I guess they're not officially announcing it. It's a rumor, but usually these rumors aren't
strong.
Yeah, it's a strong rumor. I'm surprised just with the current political state of, you know, our two countries that they're talking about this. So I would love to see it, but there you go. Freddie says he failed French big time in school, but didn't really care to learn it. Yeah, well.
All right, so let me ask you before we move it along. Where are you in relation to Montreal? I know you're far away. Can you tell me how far away?
I'm far away, yeah. I'm probably closer to come to you than I am to Montreal.
So if this happens next year, because they say potentially trucks in Xfinity next year and then Cup in 27.
Can we Producer Peyton was asking me that too. I might hold out and wait till the Cup Series goes there. It's a bit of a jog to get there just for Xfinity and trucks. But we'll see. You know, never say never. Never rule it out.
All may do for Mosh. All right.
Yeah. If some sort of like, you know, Quebec based company wants to sponsor me to go there and check it out, then great. Yeah, I'll be there. So.
But how many hours? How many hours is it for you?
I can't remember. I think I took a screenshot of it and sent it to you. I wouldn't drive this. Did I send it to both of you or just to you? This is great radio here.
Yeah.
1 day, 23 hours.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's about like your Sonoma trip almost.
No, gosh, no, not even.
You always do that Sonoma trip where you don't like sleep at all. You're just.
Yeah, but that's like, that's 15 hours straight. Yeah, pretty much. This is like 47 hours. So.
Goodness. All right.
That's like 3 trips to Sonoma.
Freddie says he heard the rumor that Mexico might not happen this year. I got to tell you, I've heard that rumor too. And Freddie, I don't think that's worth a hill of beans. I don't think that rumor is true at all. I think it will happen. They've already announced it. There's no reason not to believe it would. I get that with the political kind of stratosphere, it's people jump on these rumors, but there's just no reason to believe that it wouldn't happen. We've announced it. It's set in stone.
NASCAR.
I've yet to see a legitimate kind of reason or source on that.
I believe NASCAR has addressed that rumor and said, "Not to worry, we are going." So, yeah, I saw that as well. It was a pretty big rumor, and usually when there are rumors that big that kind of make their way out, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. But it seems like NASCAR has nipped that one in the bud.
No, I hope they do. You know, I think a more global sport is cool. Again, I like the fact that kind of we here in the good old US of A get most, but I think some expansion is good, and so I'm interested to see how that goes.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun.
And how they take to it.
Absolutely, especially when you have someone like Daniel Suarez in the field. Like, I think that's cool to go to his stomping grounds. You know, let him have his home track for a little bit there, and I bet the fans will be crazy for him out there, which will be great.
Oh, the Mi Amigos will be running wild like Hulkamania, no doubt about it. All right, with that, what do you say we hit our weekend preview?
Let's do it.
All right, we've talked at length how the Wood Brothers got back in victory lane at Vegas, but it's already time to look forward to Homestead, Miami. We're going to Miami. I'm emo. As that Will Smith classic says.
Is that French you're speaking there?
I don't know what that is. That's that liqueurs deal. You ever listen to that sort of thing? That's good stuff. I was, you know, partying in the city with he's on nine and day in the back of the, yeah, I'm going to Miami. All right. I got a cutter now. So all 3 series are in Homestead, Miami. And not only are all 3 series in Homestead, Miami, Kyle Larson is running triple duty.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He's running the trucks for Spire. Of course, that's going to have some help from Mr. H. Then he's going to run officially for Mr. H in the Xfinity in the 17. And then, of course, he'll be in the 5 during the Cup Series. Let me ask you a question, Mr. Kittermine. I know it's not really pick time quite yet, but for the trucks and Xfinity, do you think he's going to sweep the weekend? Do you think he's going to win both those bad boys?
For those two, trucks and Xfinity? Yeah. I think he's got a good shot. Certainly. I think it's a mistake to run all 3, just even from like a wear and tear sort of scenario, you know, like, especially because Cup is where he should really care the most, right? And by that point, he will have run 2 races, and Homestead's it's not a walk in the park, you know, it's a driver input sort of track, if that makes sense. Like, this is you got to have your wits about you. You're going to be exhausted by the end of this weekend if you're running all 3 races. And so, does that hurt his chances in the Cup Series race? Possibly.
You know, you make a good point, but he is a guy that keeps a wicked schedule. I mean,
that's true.
He runs all the time at various different especially dirt tracks. Freddie says it's time to go big, go home. He's taking it. Larson does sweep all three series. Wow. Being the first to sweep a weekend all three series since Kyle Busch last did it at Bristol in 2017. He says, go big or go home. Peter, get ready. Yeet. And so, look, I don't know. I got to say I disagree with you. I think he loses in the truck series. I think Corey Heim goes back-to-back. By the way, Brandon Jones also coming down for a truck start, if you've seen the entry list.
Okay.
He's driving for Tricon Garage. But I do think he'll win the Xfinity Series, and we'll talk a little bit more about the Cup in just a moment. The NHRA is in Phoenix at the Arizona Nationals, at their second event of the 20 race schedule. So we'll see how everybody does. We'll see if Antron Brown can get back. That, you know, we call it Victory Lane in NASCAR. They call it a circle, a winner's circle.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
Isn't that amazing? You know, you think it would go the opposite, though, but it doesn't. So we'll see how that goes with the NHRA in Phoenix this weekend. We are going to have some coverage for you on Racing Refresh social media, mm-hmm. and of course racingrefresh.com, and especially our YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, go ahead and hit that button for us. We really appreciate you. In
smash
F1,
that like button.
Smash it. F1 is in China. IndyCar is at the Thermal Club in California. So we've got a full slate, Adam, of motorsports this weekend. You know, if you want to watch cars on a track, there is something for you.
There's something out there for you.
There's something for you. And so, look, we're going to talk about it here in just a moment. So let's get to it. It's time. With every great episode, send me the link for you. Sure, absolutely. We will.
I can do that, Freddie. Yeah, I'll send you the link.
We can do that. Yes, smash that subscribe button. We're posting videos all the time. Posting videos several days a week. You know, at least two or three days a week. Sometimes every day. It depends on what news breaks in our time. So, but speaking of time, with every great episode of Racing Refresh, you know, we must come to an end. But before we do that, it's time for our Racing Refresh picks.
You had me fooled for a second there. I thought you were ending the show.
Not yet, buddy. Let's bring in Priest Peyton.
Let's bring her in here. It is time for Racing Refresh Picks.
It's time for the pickies.
Now, our... Yes, ChatGPT is on a roll. You know, putting Christopher Bell to shame. Five races in a row. ChatGPT has won. Congratulations to that. Whose idea was it to bring ChatGPT into the fold? That was me, of course. So you're welcome, everyone. But I came last with my Cody Ware pick. He came last as well. It's very upsetting. Peyton, you came third with Noah Gragson and Logan. Moving his way on up into second there. Riley Herbst.
The climb out of the hole is coming, boys.
You're getting there. Yeah. Although ChatGPT did falter. He picked Logano, and Logano only came 15th. We just happen to have worse picks. So, anyways, I get to pick first at Homestead here. And I haven't really thought about it, to be honest. I am going to go with... You know what? I'm going to do it. Since I'm picking first, I'm going to pick Tyler Reddick. He likes to run the outside. It's a good place. Peyton, where are you going?
I'm going to take... Give me Christopher Bell.
Okay.
Coming for it. Everybody seems to be going for it in a big way here.
Yeah.
Everybody seems to be going for it and bringing something heavy. So I gotta bring something heavy too. Give me Willie B. William Byron.
William Byron. All right. And I'm getting ChatGPT's pick right here. but my internet is having a moment.
I was going to take Tyler Reddick, but then you take
it. Oh, you know what? So funny. ChatGPT picked Byron, but it's too late. Who are you picking instead? ChatGPT is moving slowly here. Apologies, everyone at home.
It's all right.
It is saying sometimes ChatGPT is not very smart. You say, no, you have to pick someone else. And they go, okay. And then they pick someone again. Have they picked Hamlin yet? No, he picked Hamlin. There you go. Denny Hamlin for ChatGPT. This is a big matchup here.
We are bringing the heat in this.
Bringing the heat.
Yeet.
There you go. Bringing the yeet. No, bring I like it.
Yeet, ladies and gentlemen. All right. With that, look, before we go, it's time for a little bit of, are you ready? Closing time. All right, before we go, I want to personally thank each and every one of you for tuning in. Freddie, especially Ian, thank you. And for our audio listeners, we appreciate you. Hope you enjoy these dulcet tones. And if you don't, let us know how we can get better. Please and thank you. Adam, final words.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Homestead. I like Homestead. It's one of my favorite tracks. I really wish NASCAR would bring the championship back there. I think it's much better racing than Phoenix does for the championship race, but you know, we shall see. But yeah, no, I always enjoy the Homestead weekend, and looking forward to it. Yeah, that's all I got.
Amen to that. Producer Peyton Moore, final words.
I don't have much to say other than I'm looking forward to all of the racing action. I will probably not watch any open wheel because that is not my particular tea. But I do like the other teas.
The NASCAR and the NHRA.
Yes.
She likes those particular brands of tea. All right, and of course, let me say it for her. She's hoping that Ryan Blaney has a better weekend.
Yes, that as well. But
that's a given any week.
He has a average finish of 7 there, so
she's got hope, folks. Anywho, with that, that's been Adam. That's been producer Peyton, as I call it, Peter. Thank you again for tuning in. Hope you do enjoy the Homestead action or the IndyCar action or the F1 action or the NHRA action. Plenty of racing, no matter what your persuasion is on your motorsport. Fun time. Hope you enjoy it all. And until next time, I'm Logan. That's been Adam. And that's been the one and only producer Peyton. And we'll see you at the next track.